Okay, good morning. Lovely to see you all again. I have to keep saying good morning. It is still morning, so that's good. Okay, this is going to be a little bit different this morning. Just felt that God had a lot to say, but that's okay, isn't it? Yeah. So we just might do some things in between because that's a really good way to learn. And otherwise, if we sit for too long, it just doesn't go in. Okay, so I'm hoping you're just going to be able to come with me on that, okay? So we're going to start this morning. I did some research and I have a medical survey that was done. And I just want you to guess what this group of people that were being researched, what they did, okay? And I'm going to share with you the results of this survey, so some of it should be coming up. And I want you to guess what this group of people had to take on in order for these results to come through. So this is how their personalities were affected. They were more optimistic, less materialistic. They were more spiritual. They were less self-centered. And they had more self-esteem. Okay, so this is how their health was affected. They had better sleep. More energy, that's a good one, isn't it? Longer life, ooh, that is interesting. And motivation for more exercise. Well, I'll go for that one. This is how their emotions, this was the results for their emotions. They had more resilience. They had more good feelings. They actually were able to recall happier memories rather than sad memories. They had less envy and they were more relaxed. Socially, more friendly, better marriages, more respect, more friends than they had before, and their relationships were deeper. In their careers, they had better management, increased networking, and their more goals were achieved, improved their decision-making, and increased their productivity. So this is interactive this morning. You've been very quiet. I mean, what do you think it was? It was free, by the way. That's a really good answer. I like that answer, actually. That is funny. Is that free, though? Or is it costly? Are you going to stone me now? It actually doesn't really take a lot of effort either. I don't think so. But walking. They were close. We're getting there. Were they Kathy tea drinkers? We're getting there. Nothing else? They were Christians. Actually, they weren't. This survey, they may have been, but they weren't. This survey is totally secular. This survey was done by medics, and it's completely secular, and it's just something that actually all they did was monitor these people to adopt a healthy, thankful approach to life. That is it. And I just found that really interesting. And I thought we'd start with that today. Because actually, I don't know if you can bring up my slide. Today is called Life Together in Radical Gratitude. Okay, it is about that attitude of thanks. And as we've been celebrating harvest this morning and thinking about all the stuff that we can be so appreciative for and thankful for and look at God's provision for us. And I think sometimes it takes something like this, a harvest service, to stop and realize maybe how much we take for granted and how much we can be so thankful for all that God has given us. And it is about taking maybe what we might see as a polite thing of thanks to taking on an attitude of gratitude. It's something quite deep felt. And that's what I want to look at this morning. But in order to do that, we're going to have a look and see why should we be thankful? I just want to do this for a while. And I think if we have a look at God's gifts and his blessings, it just might help us get into that mind frame of what we're talking about. So we're going to start with our first activity because it looks like you're falling asleep already. And that's no good. So I'm going to, you are on the front. It's just like, and I'm sure you've got the most energy in the church. You always tell me how fit and strong you are, Tom. So all I need you to do is do what, like be my minions. It's not difficult. So I've got some gifts here this morning. And so I think it will just help us if we receive some gifts. Do you think that's a good idea? And then we just, it's just going to really help sort of unpack what we're on about. So what do we need to do with gifts? Well, we need to look and see who it's from. So, Tom, if I can just get you, this says here on the label that it's for Carl. I don't know where Carl is. Where do we have Carl in the house? He's where? He's just left the book. Go and give it to Fiona. That's for Carl for later then. He's got a gift this morning. Wow. Okay. Can I get you to come and help, please? Is that all right? This is for, says Matt Evans on it. So Matt Evans has a gift this morning. Okay. This is for James Woodcock. So James over there, that's for you. Lots of men this morning. Oh, it says Mark. Mark Tipper. I don't know where Mark is. Mark's at the back. Look. Give us a wave, Mark. We should know who everybody is, really, shouldn't we? And this there is for Pam. Pam is just here by Anna. Okay. I get to think for somebody else. So who have we got here? This one says Wendy. One for Wendy. And I got a feeling the other person has disappeared. I think she could be in kids' church, but we've got one here for Katie. If you give it to Sarah, she will make sure that she gets it. Okay. Oh, it really embarrassed her. So this is a lady called Katie. There's a gift here for you this morning, Katie. I don't know how it happened, but there we go. So did you notice they all said thank you? You did all say thank you, didn't you? There's going to be a work here. Because that really is, you know, obviously the polite thing to do. So we're just going to have a little look at some verses here. So if we have a look, first of all, Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Hopefully not many of you. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So hopefully, you know, God knows that I know how to give good gifts. You can tell me later if they weren't good gifts. And, you know, see, God knows that. God knows that we know how to do that. He says it in his word. And if I can take you to James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from our Father above. Now, I don't have time to go and study James 1 with you this morning. But if you're making notes, have a look at the rest of James 1. Because what it does, it unpacks the verses from Matthew, really, that we've just looked at. And it talks about how we get into sin. Not a good thing, but it explains how it comes from temptation and evil desires and things like that. And what it's saying is, this is you, though you do sin, though you do fail at things and you make mistakes. I know you know how to give good gifts, but I am God and I am perfect and I'm holy. I don't just give good gifts. My gifts are amazing. They're the top notch. I give what's perfect for you in every way. So we kind of got to get that in our heads. We can exchange gifts and say thank you and they can be good, but God is on a higher level. And so everything good, everything perfect in our life is from God above. Do you think about that? And if you do you think about it in just a tangible way? Just maybe the things that we can see in front of us, rather than maybe some of those things we don't see. What about the birds singing in the morning? Do you ever think that God's actually sent that gift for you? Just to you, to bless you that morning. May bless other people as well. But do we get into that mode of what God's provision really is for us in many ways? So I just want us to kind of just get that in our heads that I think sometimes we miss his gifts. But of course, the best gift of all is the gift of Jesus. And we must talk about that one. Okay, so John 3, verse 16. Many of you will know this verse well, but maybe you've never heard it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So surely, as your responses were this morning to the gifts that I gave out, were a thank you, that is surely the very least we can do after looking, I know, very quickly at what God has given us, is that we would come and we would say thank you. However, God actually wants our deep felt gratitude, and he actually desires our thankfulness. I don't know if you've thought about that before. If I can take you to the verse that we're going to feature on this morning, which is 1 Thessalonians 5, and that's verses 16 to 18. We'll look at those three verses. Again, please, if you're making notes, if you have a look at that whole chapter, and as we're looking at life together, it is for the church. Okay, really, really good chapter. Encourage you to read that. We will look at one or two verses, but if you want to get it all in context, then have a look later. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And what I want to highlight to us right at the very beginning is that it is God's will for us to give thanks. And I don't know whether we always process it in that way, that actually it's something that he wills us to do. So are we able to say that we're filled up with gratitude for the many blessings that God has given us? I don't know about you, but I think what I've noticed in my life, that people find it much easier to be quite grumbly. And I don't know about you, it can take more effort to be thankful than to have a good old grumble. You're all staying very neutral this morning. Okay, it's okay. I won't embarrass anybody here this morning. But I think that slipping into that mode of grumbling, negativity, life comes along, it can actually be quite frustrating life. Does anybody ever have a frustrating life? You're all very thankful all the time. You know, great, but it can be frustrating. And actually just normal stuff of life can come in. And it can be irritating as well. Does anybody else have an irritating life sometimes? Oh, they've got some nods. Way, Wendy and I are in the same place. And sometimes, to be honest, this is quite a difficult word maybe to unpack, but sometimes we just feel we are entitled to feel like that. It is our entitlement to have that stance. But God is actually saying something different. I need you to be grateful. I need you to come with thanks. And so despite how difficult that can be, and it seems to take people more energy to be grateful at times, and sometimes more energy to encourage others to be grateful, God is saying, actually, I will this for you. I really am asking you to do this. Can we bring up the verses from Colossians? I'd just like us to have a look at that, please. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Therefore, our lives should be daily overflowing with gratitude. We've got to get into that. When we think about God's gifts and the gifts of salvation, as we've just mentioned, for Jesus, even if life is irritating and we would like to be grumbly, that we need to try and get into this intentional way of daily giving thanks. And do you know, it is like everything else. It's like giving up smoking, it is just like diets, it's those sorts of things. You've got to get into a habit. And sometimes we need to break a habit, and sometimes we need to start a habit. And I think I remember Steve, and I think I remember Pat, both saying at times, if you can do something for a month, it becomes a natural part of you. If you can commit to say, so if you want to do a commit thing today for afterwards, I am going to be thankful every day for a month, and I'm going to make sure I put it in as a discipline. And then it should become a natural part of who you are. Now, I remember sharing with you last week, telling you, Bods, how simple I am. And so this is my simple analogy. I don't know about you. I get into bed at night and I go, oh. And then it just comes. I don't have to go, oh, and then go to sleep. I go, thank you, God. I'm in a bed. I'm in a warm bed. And I've got a roof over my head, and it won't stop. The thanks that comes. I see a meal in front of me, and I know there are people. I've had opportunities to know, I guess, that people go without food. I know that thanks just naturally comes. You know, and I've that part has been brilliant, just to be able to come every day, just for those simple things. But if you start with those simple things, I can tell you what, it becomes bigger. If you get thankful, you notice more things to be thankful for. You start to notice those gifts that God's been giving you and blessing you with. And you just can't stop. It is very natural. Can I just say, it isn't tiring. It doesn't take effort. Because it's not like I'm talking to you now. This is actually taking up a bit of energy, a bit of effort. My brain is trying to say to my mouth, you need to say this bit next. I'm moving. I'm trying to make sure you're all still awake. And I'm taking up energy. But this is something inside us. You can shout it out if you like. Occasionally, thank you, Lord. You can shout it out if you want to. But sometimes it's just that intimate conversation. And what was the beginning of those verses? Pray continually. And that is the habit you're forming, praying all the time. It doesn't take the energy up. It is just something that becomes really natural. And as Kathy shared earlier, do you know, if we can teach our children to be thankful from a really young age, they will grow up with it being actually a natural part of who they are, to be really grateful for all that they have. Okay, we're going to go into some quite really deep stuff in a minute, and are you ready to be stretched? So we're going to move around before we do that, okay? Helpers. I want everybody to have a post-it note and a pen. If you've got a pen, just say you've got a pen. That's fine. Maybe one of you could do the pens. Yeah. I've split up all these post-its, okay? So we're going to use, behind Kathy, yeah, it's on Kathy's side, not Fiona's side, because Fiona's got a poster that the school have already put up. But on the doors behind Kathy, I'm sorry, everybody is coming your way in a minute, just to warn you, if you want to get up off the floor. I want you just to write down a few things that come to mind that you really want to thank God for, okay? And get up out your seat, pop it on the back on those doors. I have practice. It will stick to the glass and the wood. So you're okay. And it'll be really good then. And afterwards, everybody can go and look at them if you want to see what we're thankful for. You don't have to put your name on it or anything like that. But sometimes it's good to write this down, to get it out. What are we thankful for? What are the things that maybe we don't think of being thankful for, but God maybe has been putting something in your mind as I've been talking? Oh, are they sticking? Okay. If you want to grab anything throughout the rest of the service, and if something comes to mind, everything is just here. So please carry on if that's something you want to do. I'll just give you a few more minutes. Hopefully that's helped. Help us focus a bit, and also just help break up where you're sat for a moment. A fight breaking out, have we? Okay. So it's good to stop, isn't it, and think of the things that we are thankful for. I don't know how often we get a chance to do that on our own, but actually it's really good to do that together and stop and see what we can be thankful for as a group of people together. So I want to go back to the verse in 1 Thessalonians that we were looking at in the beginning about giving thanks to God in all circumstances, and it is the will of God. So we've looked at we need to give thanks. We've looked that God is actually asking us to do this. So I suppose the scary bit that we haven't really looked at yet is in all circumstances. And I think if we can get hold of that bit, then surely that is the radical bit, the radical gratitude. And I don't think that this bit is easy to grasp. And at times I'm not actually sure if we completely understand it. But I'm sure we have come into different circumstances and really not wanted to give thanks at all for what we have found ourselves in. But I just want to pause before we look at this properly. And it's on the slide, I think, isn't it? Because I just want to emphasize, sometimes we just believe that everything that comes our way, God is just giving it to us. So first of all, can we go back to those gifts and get into our head that we have good and perfect things from God? That's what he gives us, okay? And if we are not always, it's like not always being thankful for our circumstances, but thankful in our circumstances. Now, sometimes our circumstances are amazing and they're brilliant. And you would just naturally go, thank you for this. But sometimes our circumstances are not good at all. And it's not being thankful for what those circumstances are, but being thankful in those circumstances, despite of our circumstances. And I think that's important to kind of get a hold of. Does that, you're frowning at me a little bit? Do we get that? Yeah, that it's in it. It is not we are being grateful for the circumstances. God's not asking us to do that. But despite the circumstances, while we're in the circumstances. Because sometimes our situations, to be honest, really stink. They do. And I know that some of you have had to deal with many heartache and very difficult situations. And, you know, in that sense, I don't bring what I'm saying lightly this morning at all. And I think it's safe to say that we can't even grasp to even understand why some of those things have happened. We don't have the answers. I do, however, know that God is never going to stop loving you, no matter what happens, and that he works his healing hands on our lives in beautiful ways in time. There's that verse about making all things beautiful in his time. That he does turn things around for good. That he knows how many hairs are on your head. That you are loved and you are special. And he knew you before you were formed in the womb. He will carry you through the tough times. And he will never leave you. If you seek him, you will find him. And sometimes all we can do is be grateful for his promises and his word and what he has told us, that we can lean on him and rest in him. So, as this is our Life Together series, I would like to ask you a question. How does gratefulness show in our relationships? Family, friends, neighbours, work colleagues, people here at Forest Gate. How grateful are we for each other? Do you find that there is someone that you have grumbled about quite a lot? There's that word again, grumbling. Maybe you're not really very thankful for. And this could be not just here, it could be, you know, in all sorts of relationships. And I think if we can just stop and sort of pinpoint where that is, make that effort, it is a bit of effort to actually stop grumbling. That's the bit where effort comes in, to stop grumbling. Maybe finding everything that is wrong with that person. You know what I mean, don't you? Just keeps coming. And turn it around into something you can be grateful for in the relationship. Now, you might be saying to me, well, Louise, actually, there isn't anything. I can tell you now, there isn't anything that I can be grateful for in that relationship. Actually, there is. But you are not even thinking. If you will stop, it does take a minute. Maybe even think about some of the things that you felt. Here we go. When you first met that person. So if you're married, How did you first meet? This is a great way to keep a marriage going. Do you remember your first date, your first kiss, where you were, what they first said? When you were in that position, you remembered it. You went over it in your head again and again and again. But now, 25 years later, you're like, no. But it works and it comes back. And this is good stuff. It is. Because it turns things around. Something that you can be grateful for in the relationship. And I'm not talking a big thing. If you can think of one little thing, it starts to release stuff. It will release communication with that person. It will release effort. It will release you to do acts of kindness. And love starts to be rekindled. Healing comes and takes place. And it is just making that effort to do that. So if we choose to actually adopt a grateful attitude, something does start to change. It allows God to come in and work within us. It allows maybe a softening, maybe where there's been some bitterness. Scars of hurt can be soothed by forgiveness. Because you will find if you even start thinking and then start acting, the responses are usually very positive, and it's very surprising. If we can repent and turn away from our negative attitudes that we've been showing in order then to display love and compassion. So, life together in radical gratitude, can't even say that, in radical gratitude, being thankful in all circumstances is God's will, because it actually creates fellowship. Gratitude always builds deeper relationships between you and other people and you and God. If we look into 1 Thessalonians 5 again, but actually look a bit before where we've got to in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. As you build others up, you will find that God builds into your life as well through your deep relationship with him and others. We can do this life together in radical gratitude, because it's not just what God requires, even though he knows exactly what he's talking about. Go back to the survey. He's been trying to tell us for thousands of years how to do those things, and yet the medics have come up with it and said, oh look, if you're quite thankful, this is what will happen. You know, it's not just what you're, it's healthy for you and it's healthy for the church. Now, I'm not an expert. I've dabbled, shall we say, in the heartache department and tough lives. I've had my moments, but I haven't had the deep, devastating situations of some people's lives. And I'm aware that this morning there could be something that could be coming up that you're going, Louise, you just do not know what you're talking about. You're talking about it fairly superficially. Yes, God might have given you these words. And so I have turned to an expert. Her name is Anne. And these are some books that she has got here. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Anne so you understand where she's coming from. So her name is Anne Voskamp. I don't know if you've heard of her before. So this is her story. As a child, her sister was crushed under a truck in front of her and her mother. Consequently, her mother checked herself into a psychiatric hospital, and her father couldn't find God. As an adult, she stood beside her brother-in-law as he buried his first two sons. Anne is a wife and a mother who does not grin through the pain, so doesn't skip through those circumstances that we're talking about, because God's asking for thanks. But she actually battles to believe that in God is joy, and that there are as many gifts in the grittiness of life as in the moments of celebration. Now, I've got these two books here. I mean, her book, have we got it up on the screen? It's called 1,000 Gifts. And if you'd like one, I've got one coming, okay? But they are coming over from America. But I have two devotional books here. And if you feel that today has touched you and you'd like one of these books, I'm giving them away. So it's just a daily Bible time, in a quiet time, where she just shares about some of her experiences that she's been through and what God shows and how to help you through living life every day in God's grace and in his love and in that place of thankfulness. Now, you might not relate to Anne at all, okay? And that's absolutely fine. I do, because she's a mum and a wife. She's pretty much at home. She looks after, she's got six children. So, you know, Kathy might relate to her. You know, she's got a lot of children, but because I child mind and the house is full, I can kind of relate to what she's going to. So I'm going to read a snippet of her book. And if that it's not for you, then please forgive me. But it's something that I relate to. So hopefully there will be some of you that will relate to this. Balancing a basket of fresh towels on my hips, I step into a house of shoes strewn, Lego scattered, half-baked experiment on the worktop that involved too much dye and far too much sand. The kitchen sink is constantly filling and the pantry always emptying. And there's that herd of dusty footprints through the floor, including Archie in our house. The washing machine is groaning, and the oven timer frantically beeping. We have a very annoying oven beeper in our house. I don't know about yours, but ours is very annoying. It doesn't stop. And I have no idea where half a dozen children are. Why doubt the dare to fully live right here and now? Why not let all of life be penetrated by grace, gratitude, and joy? This is the only way to welcome the kingdom of God. So that's your thought. So I drop my basket on the ironing board, pick my way over everything to the oven. Every breath, as we've said before, can be a battle between grudgery, that's that grumbling stuff, and gratitude. And we must keep thanks on our lips so that we can sip from God's cup of joy. Nowhere else in the universe lies the joy of the Lord but in that one word. I silence the oven and say thank you. Count a thousand of his gifts. She's using that hymn. Count those blessings. Name them one by one. Alan knows it well, I can see. She has a gratitude journal as well. She finds that helps. She writes down all those things that she believes God's blessing her with. She just mentions a few here. Apple blossom filling the orchard. Child's laughter down the slide. The earth under my feet. The stars in the sky. Count, she says, just count the way he loves you and gives you gifts. Unfold your hands to heaven. And although you tremble and although you wonder, you can trust each moment with his grace. I still don't know why God took my sister. I don't know why her children don't run free on spring days with mine. I don't know why my parents' hearts were left to weep. Though I cry this, I know God is good and I'm always loved. Do you feel like you are in this battle between grudgery and gratitude? Make that choice today to choose gratitude. Finally, get to my finally point. You can put the Eucharist slide up now. The word Eucharist. Now, I don't know whether many of you, if you've been part of Anglican churches, you will know this word well. It's an invitation usually for a service, for Holy Communion. Usually when you see that word, you know that that will be part of what goes on in the service. We don't tend to use that word very much here. But through my research on this is what came up, and it actually comes from the Greek and means thanksgiving. So if we take ourselves back to a few hours before Jesus's execution, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." Now, customarily, and hopefully in your houses, before you eat, there is a thank you. But with all of this in one sentence, there is much more here than just a polite word of thanks for that bread. The blessing and the grace that is put onto that. God is surrendering here, where Jesus comes and says, "Thank you." He's coming with thanksgiving, as the Eucharist means. And that's the word that was used in these verses. That's the translation. Despite what was ahead of him, we read in the Bible that Jesus said, "Father, if you can take this cup from me." The flogging that was ahead, the abuse that was ahead, the crucifixion that was ahead. Oh boy. And Jesus was fully man here on earth. We have to remember that. Do you think he really wanted those circumstances? He didn't. But you know what? Despite those circumstances that were ahead of him, he said, "Thank you." He broke bread and said, "This is my body. Remember me." Let's follow Jesus' example and give thanks. Thank you.